Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale, bro. Show. They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale, bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
We're coming to you live from WRBG Radio. Tonight we got a special speaker for you. He's up and coming artist. He's one of the new leaders and starting trends. Hold on one moment.
They ready for you, bro. Yeah, they ready. Everybody in there.
Attention, all soldiers, come gather formation. My African warriors to my thugs and gangsters. It's time to fight hard, cause our life is in danger. Stop practicing on each other and get the ones that's a gangster. It's time to link up and form one big army. Unite all of our numbers, get them people up off us. This whole thing designed to get you broke or you locked up. But we gon' tear it down because this world belongs to us.
I see more attention, step ripping, come for the devil. You can see death in line, you got nine, love yourself. Yes, a queen, yeah, your people, yeah, the savior. What if you don't know your culture, come and let me activate your mind.
calculate the black dollar, keep the black dollar black. We was taught by master not to have each other back. Now we linking with each other, help each other stack, stack. Black pride, one nigga, strong and black. That's what's down. See that job that you seek, it ain't all that it seems. They tryna really let your black Wall Street dream. You gon' make it all happen like a king and a queen. But when you rep the culture, it ain't hard as it seems. We gon' march like Martin by the window like X. We gon' free our people by any means next. Since the last week, we know nigga showed us that we're royalty. And garments like the bread and bars are both to set us free. When I see
noise, what they step rapping, come to the devil. What you see, you pass the lies, you got lies, you just sell. You the king, you the queen, you the people, you the law. Tell the power to start a business.
They bring guns, they bring dope, alcohol to the hood. They want you to sell dope, kill and rob for your food. But they ain't bring no jobs, so people dying for the food. It's Operation Nothing, we gon' operate on nothing.
When I say march, you say step, rep and come to the devil. You can see past they lies, you got knowledge yourself. You's a king, you's a queen, to your people, you's a savior. If you don't know your culture, come and let me activate ya.
Talk to him, Dr. Clark.
He called for the unity and the redemption of the African world.
Salute them honorable Marcus
Garvey. We were not ready to listen then.
They might not have been ready then.
There's wonder whether we are ready.
Ain't no doubt about it.
To listen.
We ready, baby.
Now.
Let's go. Yeah, 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 yeah.
A flag fly high. Woo! Flag.
Forever, Garvey would never die. On my 90, the throne ready, let's take a ride. Tech, walk, big men don't choose a side. This is the path for the warriors. Seldom travel, yet still vainglorious. Black power represents us. Do we the rolling with Africa or against us?
coming out of school shit is a joke. The same people who control the school system control the prison system and the whole social system ever since slavery.
Some redneck crackers. Right around the time Third Base dropped the Cactus album, but I was reading Malcolm. I changed my name in 89, cleaning parts of my brain like a baby nine. I took their history class serious, front row, every day of the week, third period. Fucking with the teacher's head, calling them racist. I try to show them crackers some light, they couldn't face it. I got my diploma from a school called Rickers, full of teenage mothers and drug dealing niggas in the hallways. The popo was always present, searching through niggas' possessions, looking for dope and weapons, get your lessons. That's what my moms kept stressing. I tried to pay attention, but their classes weren't interesting. They seemed to only glorify the Europeans, claiming Africans were only 3/5 of human beings.
They schools can't teach us shit. My people need freedom. We trying to get all we could get. All my high school teachers could suck my dick, telling me white man lies, straight bullshit.
That brainwash camp, they make you think if you drop out, you ain't got a chance to advance in life. They try to make you pull your pants up. Students fight the teachers and get took away in handcuffs. And if that wasn't enough, then they expel y'all. Your people's understanding, but to them, you a failure. Observation and participation, my favorite teachers. When they beat us in the head with them books, it don't reach us. Whether you break dance or rock, suede, Adidas, or be in the bathroom with your clique, smoking reefer, then you know they mad class. Ain't important unless you add enough cash and multiple. Unemployment ain't rewarding. They may as well teach us extortion. You either get paid or locked up. The principal is like a warden in the 4-year sentence. Mad niggas never finish, but that doesn't mean I couldn't be a doctor or a dentist.
They schools can't teach us shit. My people need freedom. We trying to get all we can get. All my high school teachers could suck my dick, telling me white man lies, straight bullshit. They schools can't teach us shit. My people need freedom. We trying to get all we can get. All my high school teachers could suck my dick, telling me white man lies, straight bullshit. Bullshit.
this whole school system could suck my dick. Bitch!
Well, black power. Black power, black power, black power.
Black power.
Yes, brother. Dead prayers, said it all. You heard from the first clip was played by King Man out of New Orleans / Fort Worth. The second clip was played by Brother Tahir RBG out of the South. I think Tahir is out of Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken, or somewhere in that vicinity. And then the last clip was played by none other than Dead Prez. We want to make sure that on the New Black Panther Party Radio, we give those revolutionary artists who are pushing the proper propaganda a platform for their music to be heard. And also we are countering the death culture that is being pushed by the radio waves and the airwaves of our enemy. With that being said, again, this is our nightly broadcast. And you heard them, and you know what time it is. It's Friday, it's Thursday night, so that means we are connecting and getting the insight on what's going on in Africa. Black Power Thursday night. Yeah, everybody, get y'all pissed up. Let's represent. Get y'all pissed up in that cross. Come on, y'all know how to do it. Y'all put that X across your chest. That's right. Global. We turned up, turned down for what? Yo, speaking of that Southern connection, we got our topic for tonight. This is global, actually. Who will lead the black race? We got Brother Eugene Talfort representing the New African Network, the United the African Union diaspora representatives, as well as ETC Logistics, who is here tonight to give us our Thursday night Pan-African report. And we also got Brother Emmanuel out of Houston. So we got South Carolina, North Carolina. We got the Carolinas and Texas on the line. So, Brother Emmanuel, let me get a mic check.
Black power.
Right on. So I'm going to pass the mic to you, brothers. I'm going to go on mute right quick. I'm going to pass it to you, Brother Eugene. I actually got to take this call. My family member has a car wreck situation. I mean, a car flat situation. So I'm going to turn the mic over to you guys, and I'll be right back. And for everybody that's listening, don't you go nowhere. If you're listening online, you can participate by calling in and listening on your phone. At 718-664-6398. That's 718-664-6398. When you call in, if you feel so inclined to get into the discussion, to comment or ask a question or both, press 1. But we're going to hear from tonight's host, and then we'll have our co-host, Brother Emmanuel, chime in. And, of course, we will be hearing from our Minister of Culture, Brother Greg. I am your National Chair, Sister Crystal Muhammad. This is the New Black Panther Party Radio, nbpp.org. Don't get it twisted. A lot of people trying to imitate us, but they can't duplicate us. N as in new, B as in black, P as in panther, P as in party, nbpp.org. Pass the mic to you, Brother Eugene. Black power.
Yeah. Word up. Black power, brothers and sisters, Jumbo and Habaragani. What's the news, brothers and sisters? Welcome to this evening's New Black Panther Party, New Africa Network, Thursday night business broadcast. This is Thursday, October 7th, 2021. And I'm your co-host, Brother Eugene Talfort, reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. The New Africa Network and the Black Panther Party extends a big up to all our dynamic brothers and sisters tuning in each and every week. We are Black Grassroots Organizations United, over 300,000 and strong and growing, black businesses, black activists, black for-profit and nonprofit organizations working together as a part of putting in that work. organizations that are making our community safer, organizations that are making our communities greater. A big Asante, as usual, go out to Dada Crystal Muhammad and Kaka Khatib Sadiq and all the rest of our dynamic nation builders, people forever making it happen. As usual, a big shout out go to all our supporters, our sponsors, our contributors, our partners, Black Nation troops, Black Crossroads staff, the medical team, and social workers unit, and people like you. We are working together to make a positive difference. We are one united African peoples. We are one united Africa. So let's jump the night off with the update of the African stock exchange and stock market. And so first up, we have the Ghana Stock Exchange closing at 2,880.09. That was a plus for them at 0.18%. However, this reflected a 5.11% in production on the index. Year to date, the market was way down at, it was up at 938.50, and that's approximately 48.34% in the index change. The market capped out at $64.42 billion on the close of the GHS. Johannesburg Stock Exchange closed at 65,157.75, up by 1.83%. It reflected an increase of 1,170.73 on the index. Year to date, the market was also up by plus 5,749.07. That was a percentage increase of 9.68% on the index, while the market capped out at $17.67 trillion on the ZAR. Next up, we have the Nairobi Security Exchange, another NSE, closing at 177.70. It was down by only 1%, averaged out at 1.79. But year-to-date, the market was also up by 25.59. That's approximately 16.82% on the index. The market capped out at $2.7 trillion, and that was the end of the day on the KES. Did pretty good there. Nigerian Stock Exchange closed at 40,829.15, up by 0.16%. That was a plus and equivalent to plus 63.95 on the trade. Year to date, the market was also up by plus 558.43 at approximately 1.39%. The market capped out at 21.28 trillion, and that was the close of the day on the Nigerian Stock Exchange, the NGN. Next up, we have the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange closing at 9,298.45. It was up by 1.3% on the index. This reflects a positive of 118.88. Year to date, it was also in the positive by 6,622.11 at 252.7%. The market capped out at 1.04 trillion at the end of the day on the ZSE, the ASI index. And yeah, the president has been doing a very good job over there in Zimbabwe with the increase in demand for copper mining and production. That gave them a boost in the economy and got their GDP up. They're also looking at signing an agreement with Nigeria to supply a company called Coleman Wire and Cable. And that's a good business to get into right now with them processing as a part of the jumpstart of the African Industrial Revolution. And it's definitely a good demand for the supply and demand at the moment. This is day 582, reporting since the pandemic of Babylonian nations utilizing weapons of mass destruction, To day on the NBP,
NAA, the topic of tonight is, are prominent black people ready to lead the future of the black race? Who is ready and who is not? Let's see how far we can get this ball down the line this evening and pushing this topic. We are breaking out our boxing gloves, and let's get into getting this good workout in. So we speak about black leadership and the New African Network had strong dialogue on our private network earlier this week and was discussing some of the things that it would take for black African people to level up in our fight to push the agenda of a black nation rising. Black nations rising in the midst of present day, and how do we as a people come together as a collective to ensure our future. And intellectual African descent who navigates through current political and economics with the intent of bettering the black race. The most common and persistent method of describing and reviewing the nature of black leadership has been in many terms. One may say, is it militancy, or is it non-militancy? More often than that or not, the content of these polarites are not clear and not clearly defined, but are used to refer to a multitude of attitudes and sometimes certain strategies. A militant leader is thus one who is aggressive in his or her pursuit for their goals and achievements. As is most commonly used, these terms itself focus on the means rather than the end result, and such stress fails to see the strategies of the subordinate of a goal or an achievement. For instance, it is the conceivability and is very common to have a militant interrogationist, militant separatist, and a militant Marxist. Therefore, militancy of integrationists, they see no need in this, and it is case and hard, and is sometimes distractive as not changing for conservatism and not changing for integration. The second method is of assessing black leadership, and leadership has been the term of this, which is sometimes considered a origin of a nation of people, of a class of people, as a ethnicity of a people. For ours, it happens to be ethnicity of being black. We are finding out more of this related information, and it is based on through some writings of a famous scholar by the name of Dennis Forsyth. He is the scholar of written documentation on black scholars. The Black Scholars is the third oldest journal of the black culture and political thoughts in the United States. And these documents by Dennis was first published around 1969. The founders of the organization is known as, they are known as Mr. Robert Cheshireman, Nathan Hare, Alan Ross, and their publications were published during the time period by Taylor and Francis, the Black Scholar Press, and has published books all the way up through the, since 1970s. These journalists and the journalists are housed, these journals are housed at Boston University. And it is a part of the African American Studies program at Boston University. So when we showed up as Black leaders, we are providing, we are actually proving wrong that Black people are subordinate to white superiority. Black leadership is by definition, it itself is a revolution. There are five essential tools for strengthening Black leadership, Black people healing ourselves in a traditional manner, internally and externally, to be but to be behind our abilities to supersede our built our brilliance, being brilliant. Do we dare to be a leader? Do we pull out that invisible knapsack where we help people who are non-Black, African, Aborigine, to understand our experience and to bring forth differential measures to be able to move forward in life? We need also have more Black love and appreciation for ourselves and for our leadership. Talking about love, how to create, how to love, and also how to provide justice. What constitutes a good leader? Well, by definition, it states someone who others will follow, someone like a president or a head of a corporation who makes decisions for people based on the power of his or her position. However, leadership is not always based on a person's title. Leadership can act as a guide of creating a path for themselves and others, and sometimes through uncharted territory. A leader can also be someone who inspires others to take action through his or her word or deed or command. How are leaders created? They are created by sometimes genetic traits, and sometimes they are created by situations. What are the characteristics of a good leader? They are self-aware and they prioritize their personal development. They focus on the development of others. They encourage strategic thinking and innovation and action. They are ethical and civic-minded people. They practice effective cross-cultural communications. Leaders are excellent communicators who speak and write and listen well. Leaders are confident in their attitudes. Leaders have clear vision and are goal-oriented. Leaders show respect for themselves and they show respect for others. Leaders are able to pursue or to persuade others to their points of view. Leaders are honest and worthy of trust. Leaders are actively seeking responsibility and controls the initiative of their character. Leaders are active and energetic, and being a leader can be time-consuming as well as stressful. A leader is tough and shows determination. So let's get into tonight's dialogue of who's ready and who's not, and are you yourself ready? I yield the mic. This is Brother Eugene Calfer reporting from Charlotte, North Carolina. Black Power.
Black Power. I just happened to come back right on time. Again, have a family member that has car problems out of town on the back highway. So we're working on trying to make arrangements. So you know, I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to click over again. Didn't know Eugene was yielding that soon, so we're going to pass it to Brother Emmanuel. But, yeah, let's build. Let's have an exchange of dialogue. We got a whole hour and a half. I will definitely be right back. Don't anyone go anywhere. Let's just keep this energy rolling. Black Power.
Black Power, General. Black Power to everyone listening tonight. We're going to start this night being a special night in a different way than we started every other night. And I'm just going to greet everybody with a thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for paying attention. Brother Eugene, that was an amazing intro, giving us the mini stock markets from all over the globe and their conditions right now for all of our brothers and sisters who are in the financial loop, that are investing in those many different things. That's very important information. I thank you for bringing it to us. And I would, I look forward to the day when we have our own channel where we are reporting these things on the daily, just like many of the other channels, you know, that we popularize today and we run to the CBS. Instead, we need our own channels. And, you know, as I look across the many internet sites, I see that there are some that are coming up. So, you know, we all need to get out there and, you know, support them by gaining the information that these people are taking the time to research and offer to us so that we don't have to do that. So I appreciate that. Tonight's connection with our brothers and sisters abroad, it brings me to the story of La Amistad. La Amistad was a boat that was found or retrieved by Spanish fleet, and they were over in the Americas. And so there was a problem with who the boat actually belonged to. At that time, they had many different territorial lines in the water. This part of the water belonged to this country, and that part of the water belonged to that country. And so on one part of the water where the slaves were actually caught, that water didn't belong to what they called the international waters. They gave free range at that time to people who was doing the slave trade. Now, I bring this up is because a lot of us don't know about the history. We hear a lot of history that is told that, you know, we just all came over on boats and, you know, a couple of the boats sunk and some of the people was thrown off the boats. I don't know if some of y'all heard about those stories, but for those that have, you know, we've heard those stories, but something that a lot of people don't also know about that history, and I'm going to bring it up, is that the waters were territorial. And the reason the waters were territorial was because at that time, everybody in the world did not believe in the enslavement of African people, the enslavement of people, period. And so when that institution started, a lot of different lands didn't go along with it, and they took very adamant stands against it. They had many charges brought up against people who were, quote-unquote, slave trading in their waters, And one of the punishments for being caught and found guilty is death. And history doesn't tell us about the many, many boats that were captured in the wrong waters, and the captains and the whole crew charged and put to death. And the people on the boats were, quote-unquote, freed. They don't want to tell us about that because the entertaining story is that everybody in the world had us in chains and wanted us to be in chains, and nobody stood up for it. But there were different countries, and we have to bring that education up because they're not bringing it up in our history classes. But there were different countries that did go against that institution. Now, their reasoning for going against that institution were their own. But we want to bring up the fact that on this journey that the Laamistad went on, while they were on the journey, the slaves took over the boat, and they tried to chart themselves back home. And in charting themselves back home, they ended up in those different waters where they were eventually captured, imprisoned, put on trial, and found innocent of the charges that were brought against them for how they took over the crew and killed the many members on the crew that were put in the chains, as anybody who has been put in chains falsely should do, protect themselves. That's why last night's song that the general started us off with, ended us off on the musical note with Bob Marley, "I Shot the Sheriff." I knew exactly what she was shooting at, because it's crazy that in that song, Bob Marley would say and admit that he shot the sheriff, but he didn't shoot the deputy. And the reason he did that is because at that time, and even now, shooting the sheriff or killing the sheriff considered to be the top dog. You don't get as much time on such a harsh charge as shooting a deputy. A deputy is considered the sons of the sheriff, the daughters of the sheriff, the babies of the sheriff. And so you can see how people don't play about their babies. They don't play about those precious things that they create. And so it would become a capital offense if you were found guilty of shooting a deputy and killing a deputy. And so he admitted to shooting the sheriff, but claimed it was in self-defense. But he didn't kill the deputy. So the situation is crazy that a sheriff and a deputy were both shot and killed in that situation. He was just screaming out. The more strict of the charge, the more severe of the charges, he was innocent and ready to take the lesser of them. But that's just what it is in this situation. They have levels of the government and how they see the government. And so we are sitting, we're in a situation where we need to know all of these governments and what their past consisted of, so we can understand what's going on right now. When in this situation, they returned a lot of the slaves that had made the journey and made it through the harsh conditions of the jailhouse. They returned them back later on to their rightful lands. And, you know, there's many stories that were said, but there was someone that actually kept documentations of what was going on. And they actually talked to one of the people on the ship named Sinke, and he told us some stories and, you know, kind of gave a description of what they had encountered and how they threw a lot of the brothers and sisters chained over the edge into the waters, because they knew that when they came into certain waters, if they were caught with slaves on their boats, then they would get, you know, they would get charged, and death was the consequence for it. And so to conceal what they were doing whenever they had laws run up on them, you know, they get rid of the evidence, they throw the dope, and we was the dope. And so he's told about different atrocities like the slaves being whipped to death. But the thing that got me the most in that story is that they were put on trial. You know, they charged these people. They didn't just say, okay, cool, y'all brothers, we caught y'all with them, let them go and go home. They truly charged them and were trying to convict them so that they could be punished rightfully. And some of those members of that committee who charged them went on and were the ones who were responsible for the destruction of the El Mina Castle in Sierra Leone and many other slave fortresses that were built back in the day were tore down during that time. Now, it's important that we know about who were these governments and why these governments had these laws going on at that time, because then that shows our children that even though we have or had people against us, everyone wasn't against us. And even though we have some that have it in their heart and they feel it because of the pain that they've endured from a certain group, that group is not the total of the land, the population of the planet. And so it is important that we give our children, ourselves, a clear view so that we ain't going after everybody as our enemy when everybody is not. We go after the true enemy, and the true enemy that is defined through their actions. And those that would get caught in these boats, you know, it seemed like the story of them would, you know, get washed away. Nobody would hear about it. So a lot of people never felt like there was any kind of relief to that situation. Well, over time, the waters were covered to so much to a degree where, you know, no boats could cross. And so they knew that there was no way to steal some slaves and then get them over to different places without, you know, risking themselves being killed or tried and found guilty and the same result, the same ending, death. The many ships that did come across, that did take over and landed in different ports and repopulated the lands with all those different people, you know. So the passage and how a lot of us got over here and what was going on at that time in life. Because when you look at the majority of Africa, we see that all of Africa was not stolen and brought over here. When we look at the amount of us, even though it was a lot, it was considered a handful. It's like they didn't go into all of Africa and take the whole of Africa and bring more all black people, melanated people over on boats. There's still a lot of people left over there and are still there now. And so, you know, we want to show why only a percentage and not everybody was taken and brought over here to the Americas. And why I feel that's important is because when we're connecting to unify everyone on the planet, we need to understand our ancestors and what they did that causes us to be in the condition we are in right now. I say that because a lot of us, you know, feel a form of separation. And so the problems of the people on the other side don't seem, or they don't feel like they are those of their own, but they are. You are my brothers and I am your brother. So, you know, in the spirit of as brother, my honorable brother Yah brought up, you know, today I went and I looked up a lot of the things that it would take to speak to the United States Senate and to the United Nations about the problems that affect all of us over the planet. The same problems we have, abuse of police authority, abuse of the judicial system's authority over us. And being that these are the authoritative systems that each land has, and, you know, you have to have some form of rule and government and authority and enforcement. So it's not like we're asking for it not to be any rule or authority on the planet, but we're asking for the rule and authority on the planet to be just that, rule and authority, protection of us, the citizens, instead of being those who abuse their authority and take our lives and no consequences are faced because of that. Those that are in the positions to judge and rule over us are abusing that authority and no consequences coming to them. So we feel that, yes, that is an issue. Those are issues. Along with Texas, I plan on going to the state capital of Texas and speak on the gun problem that was just released on September 1st through these new gun laws down here. But for the bigger part, you know, looking at that, you see that everybody does have common problems and we all need a common goal. And so however we can do it, we must all stand up together to meet this common goal. And so I looked it up and I saw, you know, some of the things that were taken. We're going to move forward in the right time and do that because we all are brothers and sisters, regardless to how it happened in the past, what we are dealing with right now, the everyday issues, you know, these issues need to be addressed. And I want our brothers and sisters to understand, you know, that we ended up over here, but we are still y'all, and y'all are still us. And that has been something they tried to drive a wedge in between, you know, just even by labeling us African Americans, you know, it's like they label a person that lives in America on American soil as an American citizen, and a person that lives in Africa on African soil as an African citizen. But a person from African soil can't just come over to America and get, you know, citizenship. They got to go through a process and vice versa. So when they label people that are born in America on American soil with melanated dark skin, when they label us as African American, it's really a label that's supposed to be given to someone who was born on the African coast and then brought to the American coast and has gotten dual citizenship. That's what makes the problem with us over here, because some people don't recognize us like that as true African Americans. They recognize us only as that. And some, you know, recognize us as, hey, niggas, go back home where you come from, y'all. This is the dialogue that I want us to bring up on the regular to each other, Black Power.
Yeah, I want to jump in and get in on this. Let me tap me in.
Come on in.
As we are dealing with who's ready to lead the black race and how all of this discussion is tying in, our brother Emmanuel is getting us to understand that, you know, many of us have our people, that is, we have a very unique history, not like none other. But what I want to remind everyone, and I want y'all to just, you know, we all have a different perspectives. And as I say, many a night, see, and like I played that Dead Prayers clip tonight for a reason, because we have been so thoroughly miseducated. We have been miseducated through the food system. And the food system was designed to have us to be subservient, but also to be totally lost from who and truly we are. And what does that have to do with who will lead the black race? Because whoever's leading the black race, we're not talking about one individual, we're talking about people. You know, let me ask you, brothers and sisters, who is the leader of white folks? White people have an institution, a global institution of so-called white supremacy. Our people have been trained, for lack of a better word, to think that there must be a leader, as if we're some type of a pack, you know, like a pack of wolves, like you got a leader. When in action, and then when they murder that leader that they've said this is your leader, then it kills the movement, and it takes us, because we've been psychologically pimped out, to think that we need a person, when in fact it requires people. It requires a system. You fight systems with systems. In fact, our ancestors We come from people who had dynasties. And these dynasties lasted for thousands of years. And our ancestors charted all over the planet. So we are not only, we are the indigenous people of the Americas, Northern America, Southern America. We are the indigenous people of Australia. We're the indigenous people of Europe. We're the indigenous people of Africa. We're the indigenous people of Antarctica. There is not one corner of the planet Earth where the children of the land that we know to be called Africa are not the indigenous of. Our history is far more than 400 years ago. Our history is far more than 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. Our history is so vast and ancient. This is our story. And we must be able to embrace the diversity that exists within us as a people. And we have to have the diplomacy that we embrace the different cultures and frequencies that our people will come to communicate to us through and with, based on what we know at the time, what we have been taught, what has been tricked, what has misled us, who are the parties that are trying to trick us, who are the parties that have been exploiting us. And when I'm saying parties, I mean people, individuals. You got Negroes. That Negro mayor, Brother Emmanuel, that's setting it out in the seat of the city council, and was impudent when it came to assisting you with your son. He works for white supremacy, a system. And this so-called white supremacy, I must be clear, because they are not supreme. They have just been so vicious and diabolical. And the so-called black leadership, for the most part, has been cowardly up until this point. But there have always been those who have stood out and who are greats. And this is why we remember them to today. 100 years later, we are playing RBG, the flag brought to us by the most honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. How many black people, so-called black people, have been born between the time of Marcus Garvey and today? How many black people have been born since the time of Elijah Muhammad and today? Since the time of Malcolm X and today? Since the time of Dr. Collins and today? Harriet Tubman and today? Ida B. Wells and today? Fannie Lou Hamer and today? Denmark Vesey and today? Nat Turner and today? Desalim and today? Tucson and today? Queen Nana and today? Queen Nzinga and today? But what Hatshepsut and today? Taharqa and today? But why do we remember these Hannibal and today? But why do we remember these particular brothers and sisters who were supreme examples of leadership for the black race, who did not succumb or compromise to the system of so-called white supremacy, who were able to speak the language of the people and make it plain, as Malcolm would say, who were able to embrace and reach over and embrace the people in Alabama and Texas, Christians and Muslims, some would don't believe in neither one of them. But you can feel the spirit of someone who sincere and cares about your well-being. How do we remember Franz Fanon, Kwame Nkrumah, Kwame Ture, Huey P. Newton? Because these great ancestors spoke beyond their personal, or they were molded in their personal upbringing. And it helped to evolve them, and it helped to dictate their language, but they stood beyond their personal selves. They stood for what was great and best for the people. And this is who must be the leaders of our people. These are the people who will be ready. Are you ready to lead if you're only going to be, concerned about your corner? Or will you embrace the need for our people across the whole planet? Do you understand and do you respect the fact that people have different cultures? We do, we must, as a leader, as leaders. Who is going to be a plural, not just who as in an individual? This is a call to action. This is not something of sarcasm. Those of the character to lead our people are those who you hear from nightly. Who but a person has the character to lead our people when they lost their first begotten son and went to all the powers to be and got no justice and still has the courage to come onto the radio and speak about justice? A good leader like Brother Emmanuel, he could have just cowarded or just been so heartbroken that he said, fuck black people. But he didn't. He loves us, and you hear it. Who but a black leader like, oh, I'm on the roll, and these people calling back. Take the mic, man. You take the mic, Eugene.
Black Power, November 5th, 2017 was a Sunday morning. Every November 5th, since I say about 2011, I call my local radio station and I give my mother a shout out for my other family members, my children. I do that, my father, you know, and other people in the hood. I would give them a shout out on the radio. So that Sunday morning, in our city, we have this show called Sunday Morning Live, and it talks about the issues in the community and what's going on with all the violence and all that, and how do we fix it. And we spoke on a lot of different subjects on that show, and it comes on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. And right before that show is a show with Al Sharpton called Sunday Morning Live, where Al Sharpton comes on. I used to speak on that show at that same time, too, every week. We would speak. He was trying to get people to come down to Washington because he wanted to challenge the ministers all over America to change the what was being taught in the church, to teaching the people the right thing. You know, stop teaching this fake religion that they've been holding us down, and start committing, because everybody they have everybody attention. So they was gonna have 10,000 ministers go down there, but the Hurricane Harvey hit our town right when we were supposed to go, so we didn't go. And he was asking me, man, Brother Emmanuel, I want you to come represent for Houston, you know. And so we were going to do it, but when the hurricane hit, we had to protect everybody down here. So we did all type of stuff down here. We made a big center for distribution, gave out all type of supplies to the many families. I mean, if you want to go on the Facebook, or you can look under this hashtag, People Helping People, GP, you'll see all the stuff, man. We had waters piled up because nobody in the city wanted to help Greens Point. They were telling folks, man, they shoot out there. We don't want to help them. They were just going to leave us flooded out. But we on the ground, so we make all this happen. I'm giving y'all a backdrop because this is what happened weeks before my son was murdered. Our whole city, everybody in the world, eyes was on Houston, Texas for Hurricane Harvey, and we doing all that. Now, I'm talking on these shows, so around that time, I'm going to give my mother a normal shout-out, but that morning something told me, you know, don't do it. And I don't know why I felt like that, but I had been planning to go out of town. And the reason I was planning to go out of town is because my woman was – my family were mad at me, and they were like, man, you help everybody out too much. You just did Hurricane Harvey. You know, you've been gone. You've been out there in the trenches. Man, you need to just sit yourself down, and we want to spend some time with you. And And I was so adamant at that time. I was like, no, there ain't going to be no rest for me, man. You know, I take care of y'all, and y'all can party with each other. I'm going to do the work. And they were just, it was tearing my family down to the point where it was about to be destroyed. And I was like, man, y'all really just want me to take a damn vacation that bad? It's just that serious. They, yeah. You know, so I decided I would take a two-day vacation to San Antonio. So that morning I was prepared to go, and something told me, you know, don't do my normal radio thing that I would do. And this is my mother's birthday, so it would have just been so magnificent, but something said that. And I got up like my normal, did out patrol and all that, and I'm finna leave out for my trip at 10 o'clock that morning. Had everything packed up in my vehicle and everything, and my family, they happy, all right, we finna go on, go. And I came outside. My lieutenant was standing on post outside at the bottom of my stairs, like our protocol was, waiting on the general to come out. So I come out, and we were about to go and do our walk. And as soon as I hit my top step to go down, I heard two gunshots. And we are in Greens Point. We used to hearing gunshots, man. They go everywhere. They go all time of night. Houston, period. You can hear shots in a lot of different places, and you don't know if they firecrackers or if there's somebody shooting at a gun range or shooting at some animals, shooting at some people. You never know. But how we used to handle situations in the neighborhood is when we would hear gunshots, we would go toward the gunshots. And that's why we were able to always be on the scene before the laws or anybody and respond to the situation that happened out there, either stop the brothers from hurting each other or get whoever they need to the hospital, you know, and solve the problem, you know. So we would always run to the gunshots. Well, that morning, when we heard those gunshots, I'm about to leave. And so I want to go and investigate. But I knew my family would be like, no, see, man, you see what you're doing? You finna go investigate. And as soon as you find out something, you go help everybody. Man, stop. No, no, no. Forget that. Let somebody else do it. So I thought about all that, and I was like, okay, I'm going to leave this one to my lieutenant. Go, you know, go take care of that, man. Go make sure everything good. It's Sunday morning. It's 8:50-something. It's almost about to be a 9. Everybody getting ready for church. Somebody's just acting crazy right now. It ain't nothing major. But go check on it. And so he was like, yes, you know, he went on to do that. And me and my family jumped in our vehicle, and we took off. Now, normally whenever I go anywhere, I drive because I like to be in control of everything. I don't let nobody take control of the wheel. So this day was something unnormal because I got in the vehicle and I told my queen, you can drive. And she was excited, like, for real? Yeah. I was like, yeah, I don't know why. I just want to go to sleep. And I got in the passenger seat, and two little brothers that went by normally, you know, up to, you know, their normal issues in the morning, came by, and they were dressed up, and they caught my attention. Before I left, I stopped, man, where y'all going looking good? Oh, man, we going to church, Brother Bouncer, man? Oh, man, that's real, okay. Where you going? I'm going to church too, Brother Bouncer, man, okay. Everybody going to church on this Sunday morning. That's what's up then. Well, I don't get y'all church on. They looked good, dressed up. So, you know, we pulled off, and I laid back in my passenger seat, and I took my cowboy hat off, and I put it on my head over my face. That's another thing I don't do. But for some reason, I did that to block the sun. I felt like my body would wind up. I needed to go to sleep. Well, Thursday, before this Sunday, the Astros had won the pennant, and they were having this big parade downtown. So I wanted to go with my father and my son because my father was a baseball fan of it. And we didn't get to hook up. The Astros finally made that, and I felt like that was where we were supposed to be. And we didn't. So it threw me off because I looked at this post that said, something was supposed to happen between the 4th and the 7th. A light was going out. And I got paranoid when I never get paranoid over stuff like that. And I was like, man, I don't know what these people are talking about, but I think something will happen, something major. And I was like, if a P happened, that parade would mess up. I don't get it, man. What is it? And something just sat heavy on my heart
and made me lay down and go to sleep. I was like, I don't know what's wrong with me, man, but I got to go to sleep. And I laid down. I went to sleep. I woke up 20 minutes later. I was refreshed like nothing happened. But I was still thinking about what they said about this EMP between the 4th and the 7th. And I'm like, okay, okay, okay. So something bothered me. Something bothered me. And I laid down in my car seat, and I went to sleep, and I woke up. We in San Antonio. And cleaned and drove it all the way. I cut my phone off so that nobody, I wouldn't answer the phone. I promised my family I ain't going to answer nobody's problems. I ain't gonna do nothing. So I cut the phone off. So we in San Antonio, and we done walked through the Riverwalk. We done did about two little attractions, and something told me, you know, let's go get something to eat. You know, let's go check in our hotel. So I go back to my vehicle, and somebody had damaged the side view mirror. And it's something so small, you know, I'm not rambling, y'all. These is all things that connect. But somebody damaged the side view mirror, and it vexed my soul so bad. Something so petty, but it vexed me so bad that, you know, I just wouldn't let it go. And so I turned my phone on to call the San Antonio Police Department to get a police report to give to my insurance folks to fix it. And when I did that, all the calls came in that had been calling me and telling me those shots I heard this morning was my son right around the corner from me.
Damn.
And I didn't go to him. Because the one time I didn't respond, it was mine. And they didn't help my baby.
Man.
And when I got the call and I came straight to Houston, and I'm going to tell y'all this, I called Cornell X. No good ass. As soon as I found out, before I got on that freeway, because I was going too crazy, I say, man, get everybody ready. My son. And I ain't talked to that nigga since. This straight traitor to us. But anyway, so I got home. And when I got home, as I was on the way, that's how I got the pictures. People were sending me pictures because it was all over the news and all over social media. They had my baby body laid out there and everybody videoing it. And I mean, just complete disrespect. So that's how I viewed my son. I saw myself laying there. And when I got back, I was tripping because they were right. An EMP did hit between the 4th and the 7th, and a light went out forever. Because my son's middle name is Roshan, and that means the shining light. My middle name is Roshan, and it means the magnificent light, as I named him that. And on November 5th, my mother's birthday, early in the morning, Sunday fun day, church day, I lost my baby. And I heard it. I heard it. And I got in that car and I went to sleep with it. And when I got back, I went to the spot. I got back and they wouldn't let me see him. New protocol. They don't allow you to see your family members anymore. You got to release them to the morgue. So you don't know if that's yours or not. There's no identification except for fingerprints and an ID card. So, you know, I'm getting more and more facts, more details, but I don't want to give y'all everything right now because it would take a long time. But when I finally found out what happened, the killer pulled into the apartments, and 5 minutes later, it only took him 5 minutes. They got it on camera and everything. He was pulling out, but the killer, someone shot his driver's side mirror out of his car. That's the evidence they got right now. A bullet went forward and shot the side view mirror. And the other two bullets shot my baby. Who shot that side view mirror? And remember what I told y'all, I was in San Antonio. I would not have turned my phone on. I would not have known it for 3 days, three days.
If your mirror wasn't broken.
My phone on, if that mirror wasn't broken in San Antonio, Texas, my baby was telling me something wrong, Dad. My baby came, and it's amazing that while my baby was leaving, his sister was in her mother's stomach, was turning and twisting and just going crazy. And she wasn't but 3 months. That's not a full body. So how did your stomach get to moving and rumbling like that? We thought she was going to lose the baby. We thought, oh, man, you stressing over. No, 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 no. Calm down, calm down. I got an ultrasound right now. I see on the ultrasound, and it trips everybody out. But you're looking at ultrasound, and you see two faces in there. It's like my baby's spirit left from right there and came and found me. And he came to San Antonio, and he knew to vex my spirit because I wouldn't let stuff go. I'm not the type to let it go. I don't let shit go. You don't hurt minds. And I let it go. And he knew it. And that was the only reason I cut my phone on. And I got the message. I immediately cut the vacation, came straight home. And since then, the things I've had to do, that's for another time to tell because it's so much, but I'm going to let y'all know you need to know these things, to know these people that are really there for you and really ain't. But right after that, when I found out all the details of how the cops told the people that were outside, they had my baby, they were pumping his chest, they had a pulse. They said HPD walked up and told him to step away from my son. Let him bleed out. And then didn't even pick his body up for 5 hours. Insects infested his body because he was laying on that summer fucking heat. Last day before daylight savings. So this was the last day that it would stay dark or stay light for a long time before it turned dark. Last day. So the ants and everything was out. And I had to see my baby body in that place. Immediately after that, they asked, one of the brothers asked to come to a meeting of criminal justice reform, policing, citizens. Now, I'm leaving out all the details of me calling the detective and them hanging up on me and me going off on them because you ain't give me the respect of calling me the same day my son was murdered. Who the hell are y'all to ID him without calling us? He had his identification on him. You knew who he was. You contacted his family members and let us know. I hadn't got a call from him. That's simple respect. That's simple parts and procedures of your job, dude. You're supposed to do it. Instead, I had to see my baby on social media. Instead, I had to hear from the fucking body donors that wanted my baby parts. Before I even heard from any of the police that we have a young man down here fitting your son's description, I had to find out the hard way that they don't allow you to see the bodies no more, that you have to sign the release to send to a funeral home. And that's why I help so many people out, because I know what we got to do during the funeral. I know what you got to do to prepare. And I didn't get a parade. I felt like I lived in the Twilight Zone. I felt like all these things I had just done, I done rubbed shoulders with some of the hugest people. I done helped so many of the huge people. And right now, I'm at my lowest. And I can't get none of them to come. It's like nobody knew. It's like the whole world just ears went. But I understand what it was. Later, I realized I had to do it by myself. Because there's going to be many of us that do it by themselves. And I had to show you how to. These folks were squabbling over my baby and over the money and all this bullshit. So much so that my baby was 6'3", so we had to get him a customized casket, a little taller than the normal caskets, and I got him a little leather Cadillac casket to be nice, and it's customized, so we didn't want to go with the funeral home's casket. We needed something different and something to fit him. So we had the customized casket sent over, and the man was so crazy and disrespectful, didn't want us to do that. He thinking about money. I'm like, man, F your money, man. This is my baby's situation. This is the one time, man. Forget all that. We'll argue about that later. Just do my baby right. They go to Oregon. He tell the folks he refused the casket and sent it back. He sent this casket back the day before the funeral. So they done sent the casket back on the train tracks. It's going to go to Dallas. I had to track the casket now because I called him like, what's going on with the casket, all this BS? Man, where the fuck is my son's stuff at? I'll go get it. Tell him to stop. I'll come get it. I went out there in my own vehicle and went to that place and got them to pull it off that train in the box, and I put it in my van. And I drove from there. I went to the cemetery where we were supposed to bury my son with his casket in my truck. And I broke the ground where he was supposed to be laid at and blessed it. And then to my horror, find out they playing with the money. I said, Mr. Thomas, we ain't burying your son tomorrow. Ain't nobody going to be buried tomorrow. We ain't dug no hole. Ain't nobody paid. The fuck you mean they ain't paid? They got the money. Hey, man, where the money? Why y'all playing? Hey, man. Long story short, we didn't bury my baby. We had to have a funeral and no burial. We couldn't come up with the money. We couldn't get donations from around the world. I've been on the news now. We couldn't get nobody to show the Panther son no love. So when I'm running around trying to get money from here and there, begging everybody, we just doing all this stuff. They buried my baby without me. They took him from the morgue and took him to this cheap grave, put him under the ground without me. And guess who killed my baby? Mine. My people. So, yeah, like the general said, there's many, many reasons I would be in the right. In a lot of people's eyes. Why are you giving that time? Why are you giving them that knowledge? You acquired all that the hard way. Tell them about when you were a kid, how you learned all of it. Tell them about what the abuse. Tell them about all that stuff. And now the world take your baby. And you help the world, and they don't come to your aid. Battle after battle after battle. I told the little boy from the first day, turn yourself in, Jack. People were like, man, you're going crazy, buddy, man. Well, this man ain't going to turn himself in for yours. I say, hey, man, speak on what's going to happen with yours. Mine different. I say, I'm going to show y'all something. I'm going to show the world who I am. This boy is going to walk himself in the jailhouse on his own. They say, man, you're going crazy, buddy, man. Well, kind of, no. I'm telling you what's going to happen. So when I woke up that night, when I had that dream, I put it on Facebook. I wrote, I say, ooh, I had a dream that my son's killer turned himself in and was caught. And I woke up smiling. It felt so real. I said, I'm going to put this post here because I want y'all to see something. 3 days later, a super blood moon hit. It was in February 2019. Super blood moon hit. And I'm standing out there, I'm looking at it, my people's like, what you doing? I said, there go my son. I said, yeah, because you see my little son, he was a bloody one. He was one of the members of the Bloods. So when I saw that moon dripping blood, I say, there he go. He talking to me. He telling me. And I say, now y'all bear witness that I'm saying this now. And watch what happened. And 2 days later, I got a call at 10:45 in the morning from the district attorney, Thomas Brian Alfonso Ordonez Green, has just walked himself into the Harris County Jail and surrendered to authorities for the murder of your son. He has a lawyer, but he walked himself in. I said, "Here I come. I'm on the way." Oh, well, Mr. Thomas said, "Giving him a bond." Y'all give him a bond. He done ran for 2 years. Well, he turned himself. I don't give a fuck. Why would y'all give him a bond? I told him to turn himself in the first week. Yeah, it's cool you did it later on, but regardless, why would you do that? I say, well, check this out. You can give him a bond all you want. But he been watching me. He know me. He know who I am. He ain't coming out of this jailhouse. Not in this city with my son. Everybody go again. Man, buddy, man, where you going crazy? You tripping, you tripping. Okay, how much is bond? $30,000. Ooh, you disrespectful motherfuckers. He could walk out that bitch with a few pennies. I say, but I bet y'all, this man will not walk out this county jail. That boy sat in that county jail 9.5 months with a bond so low anybody could have got him out. As I said, he stayed in there until this judicial system. Check this shit out. He had a judge step down from being a judge and become a defense lawyer. His first case in the same county he was a judge in. All the judges his friends. He go up to the judge, say some shit. They say self-defense, case dismissed. I done talked to the mayor. I done talked to the Duke. Man, I done talked to everybody. Everybody over the city know I've been on the news 11 times by my son, 2 times for every news station. I had one of the news stations buy him a $55,000 headstone. Everybody knew about it. I'm banging everybody and they mama up. Sheila Jackson, Jesse Jackson, everybody got my son's obituary handed to them from me. A lot of them were wondering, who's this brother? Yeah, man, regardless of who I am, this is the situation. Are you going to help people or you're not? You'll find out who I am later. But are you going to help people or not? Yeah, because I don't look the same no more. I ain't in my uniform. I ain't all clean cut. I got all this hair growing over my hair, my head, because people don't understand. This ain't fashion over my head. These dreadlocks hanging down past my shoulder, it's not fashion. I stopped cutting my hair the day my baby was murdered. I said, I ain't going to cut my hair until they get my baby true justice. We're going to see how long it grow, how long it take them. See how long my hair is. Ain't nothing fake about this up here. And it ain't for fun. It ain't for fashion again. It's for love. Because the true dreadlocks started from that. True dreadlocks started from them doing the demonstration for Haile Selassie II. And they wore their hair so long that it dreaded. It locked up. But they were protesting the release of their general. We wore things. We did things for a reason. I told them I ain't cutting my hair. I don't care how y'all scared of how I look. How he looks, vile hair and all that. I don't care. This is our babies. This is our life. This black man sat up there, Sylvester Turner. Brother Emmanuel, I got you. You know I'll be on the radio. I'll be talking for you and all that. Yeah, man, you the truth. You the truth. I love you. I love you. Okay, bro. All I need you to do is do your job. Stand up for me like we stand up for y'all. Say something about my son. Find out about my son. I got you. I got you. I got you. I've been to that city hall 22 different Tuesdays. And you know what that black man did to me? He put me out of there. He told them folks put me on the black list because I'm too passionate. Because I checked their ass. I'm like, hey man, what? All it takes is a call from one of y'all, and you sit up in front of everybody, and you tell us, here go my number, call. I'm down there. I'm calling you. I'm at your office. Y'all ain't letting us talk to y'all. Stop playing with the people. And this is my son, partner. This ain't nothing to joke about. Make these folks do their job. We pay them. Ain't for to kiss their ass. Fuck that look like me kissing the detective ass or them making me feel like I'm at fault. Oh, well, what is your past like? Did you go to jail for robbery? Motherfucker, that ain't got nothing to do with my child. They always try to do that to us. Well, like parent like, so no, hell no, because my son ain't never seen the laws. They ain't never ran up on him, not once, and they hate that narrative. Oh, they didn't want to promote that narrative. See, you could talk about me all you want. You're damn right I did my time in the hill. Damn right I did 10 years or more in prisons for my mistakes. Ain't ashamed of it for nothing. But that little one right there, they didn't even get to talk to him. They hate that. They ain't said nothing to him. He lived this shit perfect. And I'd be damned if they sit there and dishonor that. That's the real live Ricky from Boys in the Hood. How y'all gonna disrespect him? Why? Because they don't really like us that's really out here doing it. But as the general say, I ain't let it stop. It just actually, it pushed a passion so hard. I felt like I was finna give up. I felt like, and I turned a lot of people away at first. I had brothers and sisters, and I felt bad, but I had brothers and sisters that was, hey, man, I need you to, you know, talk to my son now. Brother, can you mentor my son? I was like, no. I was hurt. Everybody get away from me.
Exactly.
I don't want to help nobody, boy. Not because I don't want to help them. It's because I didn't want to lose y'all. It's because I sat up and I talked to my little man all the time. I took the world abuse. I let them call me nothing so that I could make him something. And then the fucking world take him. The same little brothers that I fight for and I stand out there and I protect, one of them same little kind of brothers took mine. Who is our problem? Us. Who is our solution? Us. Oh. And do I give up? Do I stop loving? Hell no. I love more. So I just needed the little pain to subside a little bit, and I ran back to my brothers and sisters, and I got their babies. But I was able to go through that so that I could tell others. I know it's gonna be a moment. You're gonna feel so bad. You're not gonna want to give up. You're gonna get scared that the next one he might not make it. And I don't want to feel this feeling again. Just ice is just ice. My baby felt colder than the... Oh, my God. How the fuck can a body feel like that? And still look so perfect. Still look like it got life all in it. This is when they immediately come now. You're seeing them still full of life. Then when they pump that fluid in them, then that becomes something the fuck else. But when you first see them... They look like they just laying there. But when you touch them, it's cold as ice. You can't never get over that. And I didn't want to feel another little brother feel like that. I felt like I started to feel like maybe what I was saying to the brothers was causing them to get into something like this. I'm telling them to go away from it. I'm telling them don't shoot each other. Well, damn it, if you're going to shoot on the brothers, then I need to tell them, you got to go on, do it. Just to, damn, why do I got to do this? That's the feeling you have, a conflict because you love.
That's right, brother. And we definitely appreciate you, brother, for sharing. Yeah, Black Power, brother. And we appreciate you sharing your personal experience with us. And this is definitely... true experience, a very live conversation that we've been having, and you being able to share that with us is certainly Black people healing itself internally and externally. And that's part of what this leadership discussion has been about, be able to have certain information relayed to our brothers and sisters so they can somewhat feel the experience of that they're not alone. And as a part of leadership,
being able to bring forth dialogue and discussion about sometimes some very hard topics. Our brother have lost his son and have somewhat lost himself at some points in time because of this. And this is what we bring shows like this in to our listeners, so that we can begin to discuss some of the atrocities that take place in our communities, in the nations in which we live, so that we can better be able to handle the output and put all that together to be able to control and manipulate what our future looks like. And thank you, brother, for sharing that information. And we are going to continue to get into tonight's dialogue, and we'll allow... go ahead, sister.
I'm chiming real quickly. I have come to understand we have another brother, a national minister of defense, Brother Bobby. He lost his son tragically, and we've had other people that joined, and they pushed through our adversity. Our national deputy field marshal, my national field marshal, Brother Sharif, daughter was lost to senseless violence, and he keep pushing through. And you know, I have a saying that people that go through this type of trauma are baptized in the fire, you know, baptized in the fire, and to be able to push through after that, it's like a phoenix, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, so for our brother to go through such a torment, and I'm glad he expressed himself, you know, that, you know, we talking about how does it lead into who will lead the black race. If you haven't been through nothing, if you are a person whose spirit is easily broken, if you give up under adversity, you're not going to be qualified to lead our people. If you don't have the passion and the heart to feel our brothers and sisters' pains, to relate, to be able to just listen, you know, and self-check, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's deep. You know, this is the people's radio. This is something that is happening all over the planet. But to have the endurance to push through something like that and to still be here, all of us have a testimony. Many of us have different testimonies. But it's real in the field, as we are field soldiers. And you heard very passionate from one of our warriors. And we also were able to see the contradiction of those who are supposed to be the quote-unquote propped-up leadership, those who have been elected, and those who are pushed through mainstream media to be your so-called leaders, how they fail us. Brother Eugene, a brother who comes on and not only comes to give us the African report, but to give us business insight, to give us tools to use, who brings these questions forth, who keeps a air of diplomacy, who is well-rounded. So it requires all of us, from the streets to the suites, and it's well appreciated. I just wanted to just talk about that, being baptized in the fire and to be able to come through adversity and how that goes to the topic that you raised tonight, Brother Eugene. Pass it back to you, Brother Black Power. And Brother Emmanuel, we love you.
Yeah, that's right, Brother Emmanuel. We thank you for sharing this personal experience, brother. And this is definitely some information that our people need to hear and to be able to learn how to love and heal ourselves. And, yeah, you know, very extraordinary topic tonight. And leadership comes in many forms, whether it's from the person in your neighborhood to your pastor at church or your politician or maybe someone you know who runs a business, or maybe it could be just an elder. And as we are moving towards a generation of change and restitution, we often think about some of these things that sometimes could be stressful as a leader. As we mentioned earlier, a leader is active and energetic sometimes, but it also comes with times where it can be very self-consuming, and it can also be stressful. And the part of that is certainly revolutionary, because it takes one who has character as well as determination and strength to be overcome our adversities. And so, yeah, this has definitely been a good show tonight, and we want to tell all of our listeners out there who are interested in joining any of the social groups that we have, you can contact the New Black Panther Party at nbpp.org. And if you want to become a member, or if you just want to be connected to some of the electronic dialogue devices and platforms that we have, certainly this is a good way to keep informed of what's going on out there, both in the political and economic world. This is what we do, bringing dialogue and information each and every Thursday night, tuning in to the New Black Panther Party, the New Africa Network, Thursday night business broadcast. We also, as we're getting into the night discussion, Sister Crystal, do we have anybody on the line who want to weigh in on some of this conversation?
We do, actually. We do. We got an area code I haven't seen before. We got an area code of 904 area code. Your mic is open. You're listening to New Black Panther Radio. What is your name? What city are you calling from? And what is your question and or comment?
Black Power, can I be heard?
Black Power, you can be heard.
Black Power. My biggest thing is, I mean, I'm going to address a situation that's actually worldwide. There's no individuality when it really comes to this. Our biggest
know his name. Is this brother Johan?
Man, Black Power. Black Power. All Black Power.
Black Power. Okay. This is out of Jacksonville. Black Power. Go ahead,
Black Power. Black Power. The biggest thing with our people, no matter who you are, no matter what level you are, our people have actually become conformed to this world, and that becomes to a Christian, anybody that has read the Bible, anybody of any shape, form, and fashion. Let's just stick with the Bible. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. The reality of it, I mean, if you take and you sign anything, it says African-American. The first word in that phrase or whatever you want to call it is African. That's what it is. So in reality, the first phrase in that is African. Now, a lot of Christians, they get it fucked up. They look at certain things as, okay, this one doing this one doing that one doing that. I don't want to be conformed to that. But let's just take in the simplicity of it, being not conformed to this world. Okay, you're being not conformed to this world. Okay, you look at this one and they're bad, that one and that bad, that one and they're bad. But then at the same time, you're conformed to the medical institution, which is out to actually knock you the fuck out. So when it really comes to our people, I mean, a lot of you that are listening, you may be Christian, and your Bible may say, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, true enough, you're not conformed to what you feel like is the worst in the black community. What is the worst across the world? What is the greatest sin across the world? But what about being conformed to the medical institution? Being conformed to this system? Being conformed to that institution? Being conformed to this institution? You know what I mean? At the same time, let's just use the Bible. When you open the Bible, it does say be not conformed to this world. But the majority and the masses of our people are so conformed to the systems of what we call, oh, America the beautiful, America the great, this world, that, this, that, and the third, until you really fail to actually realize the shit that you are conforming to is actually in that same verse. You're not conforming to what you feel like is the bank robber, what you feel like is the murderer. But what about the system that is totally against you? You're conforming to that. All cool, fine. Everything is all good. Ain't nothing wrong with that. At the same time, I mean, we can look at the Bible. We can look at the rights, the wrongs, the good, the bad, the ugly. We can look at, okay, what is good, what is necessary, what is unnecessary. And at the same time, I'm shooting my motherfucking gun, period, point blank. Especially if you're a Christian. Okay, the Bible says be not conformed to this world. Well, you take and you look at, let's just look at one form of it. Be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right, you got the vaccine, it's out there. You got doctors and nurses that are actually in the medical institution to administer this. They won't take it, but you'll take it. But then you're hollering, be not conformed to this world. And that's the crazy thing about the masses of the people. They take and they see this, they read that. But then when it really comes down to really acting on the reality of life, they are so fucking confused. Our people are so fucking confused, so naive. Just their thought process is so fucking thwarted until they don't even know right from wrong, good from bad.
Well, tell me this, brother. Tell me this, Step brother. Right. I hate to interrupt you on that, but can I ask you this question? Do you think that's a part of the leadership of the system itself? Do you think that is a part of the leadership that may be?
It don't matter about none of that shit. Pop told you what it was. Fuck the world. I woke up screaming, fuck the world. And it don't change. Don't nothing change. If you're black, it don't, nothing changes. The color of your skin really matters in this world. It matters in, let's just say, on the other side. Because one thing about it, Western civilization has had their influence on every aspect of this world that we live in. So it don't matter where you at, it's the reality of looking at what really is and what really isn't, period, point blank.
Well, what he's asking you is, you know, in relation to tonight's topic, who's ready to lead the black race, and how what you're saying is tying into what we're talking about.
I mean, I really can't say who's really ready, because you got house nigga, you got field nigga. At the same time, house nigga say, yeah. But then when things start looking good, house nigga, and he backing out of that. Field nigga, at the same time, field nigga say, okay, let go. But then he might even change, so you really don't know. You really don't know who's with you and who's against you. You really don't know. So really it boils down to actually examining the individual. Everything is individualized. You always look at the individual, how you function, how you operate, what's your thought process. It's being quick on your feet. Truth about the situation. You really don't know, because even a coon will bite off his leg to get out of a trap. So you really don't know. It's hard to say about that. It's really hard to say about that. If that answers your question.
Brother, we often on the New Black Panther Party, the New African Network Thursday Night Business Talk Show, we always discuss having code of ethnic, or have a code of ethics. And many races all around the world have kind of grasped this action, having code of ethics,
so that they can continue to function, operate, no matter what the obstacle is. But we find that our brothers and sisters, not only here in the United States, but all throughout the African diaspora, kind of have these problems and symptoms. And do you think this may be a part of post-traumatic slave stress syndrome that we all may be going through?
That's what Dr. Garris, he said, in post-traumatic slave disorder here in America, that's what it is, period, point blank, period. In America, that's what it is, period, point blank. If you can take African-American and be okay with it, yeah, post-traumatic slave disorder. You've been conditioned to think a certain kind of way, period. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Now,
yes, sir.
To all of our listeners, we have one of our great scholars, Mr. Phil, currently has an edition concerning this topic. It is the 7 Steps to Decolonizing the Mind. And this is a great reader for our people to get a hold of this book. And also there's a lady by the name of Betty W. Aigo, and a lot of this discussion in which we're having tonight has to do with somewhat of what we're discussing as a part of leadership, those people who have the ability to lead the black race, having to be engaged with many of the subjects that evolve around black culture, and how do we tie this in to healing ourselves so that we can get on to a better outlook of our future. You know, we look at the Holocaust of the black race itself alone, over 100 million Africans dying or have been killed or died during the African slave trade Holocaust. And certainly it's been time lapsed over since, and this dialogue have come up many times to what is it that we can do to free our minds so that we can get on to the next phase of elevating or leveling up ourselves as a one progressive people. As we talk in the discussion of the jumpstart of the African economic revolution, are our African-American brothers and sisters are ready to engage in the economic revolution mentally and also politically? What are our next moves? And I'll yield the mic and let our sister, Crystal Muhammad, take the mic for a minute. One love.
Well, I mean, I'm just amen into what you're saying and what the other comrades are saying. And it reminds me, you know, one thing for sure, when we're talking about leading the black race, there's no leading the black race without dealing with reparations and bringing this to a forefront. Because as we are talking about this subject of leadership, automatically ignites dealing with the issues that are plaguing our community. You know, the traumas that we go through, the injustice that we're constantly going through, the going to the institutions that are in place and seeing no refuge in none of these so-called institutions that are in place, and reparations to repair the damage, to repair the stealing of our minds, the stealing of our birthright, the stealing of the land, you know, to the point where even just how we define ourselves becomes a point of contention, African-American. You know, to the point of how we express ourselves, we can hear trauma, yet we can hear overcoming of adversity. We can hear the frustration of the so-called ruling class that they have inflicted upon us. This so-called ruling class has sold us out time after time. And we have to be clear on that. We have to be able to understand that it's going to take different levels. We have doctors who have spoken out against the COVID. And we have doctors who are pushing the poison in the black race. We have politicians rarely speak up against injustice the minority compared to those who have conformed. We have scholars and teachers who give us the full truth and tell us our true history, whereas the vast majority are sellouts that are teaching indoctrination of so-called white supremacy and black inferiority. We have business people, black business people, who care about the communities and give back, but they're far and few in between. When you have a vast majority who are self-centered and only care about lining their pocket. So we're going to tell the ugly truth, and we're going to uplift the beauty of those who persevere and who are trying to do right. And as you said earlier, we're talking about characteristics that are necessary in leadership, as we all have a role. And let me open up one more, brother, if you don't mind. We got Brother Yahya, who's been very patient. And Brother Yahya, we know you're going to bring it. You know what I'm saying? We always try to make sure that we hear from those we haven't heard from a while. So you have the floor, Brother Yahya.
Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum. May the peace of the
Creator
be in black power. And I would like to begin by saying that amongst so-called Aboriginal peoples, we have our own way of saying black power. And it's reminding people, saying, you don't know what Aboriginal looks like. The black nation is already being led. All of you are great examples. When I first called, my heart was resonating, and I was trying to share that what we need is the support of our healers, and that can also communicate with the white supremacist KKK, and I say that comfortably, that it's embedded in the nation's so-called medical systems, which also provide the base and the network for the National Psychology Board, which creates the curriculum from family court to criminal court, has curriculum that is based on these three words that we all have heard and listened, like Honorable Brother Emmanuel sharing his story one more time. His stories of our stories of the choir of heartbreak, in which how many people told Honorable Brother Emmanuel to be calm, cool, and collected in order to be listened to inside of the courts, or when speaking to public, or when speaking to the power structures. That's the incubator of white supremacy. And what we need to be addressing, it is the post-traumatic master disorder. The fact that right now we have a nationally funded agenda that amongst all the other stressors, Pan-Africa, Africa, is and the diaspora is being taken advantage of by sending our children into the schools without placing them and their interests first. The warrior, female leader, and I'm just stating this because there is warrior spirit also amongst European peoples. And we just saw that spirit rise and speak up against her own livelihood and family and safety by speaking up against Facebook. So what this courageous human being has done also exposed the leadership of the nation and how susceptible they are due to the post-traumatic master disorder that is that unmanageable guilt that now has sent our youth back into the schools to now address culturally appropriate material and to begin to finally address possibly in education to include African consciousness and to begin to address so-called African history from the point of origin of slavery. Once again, the post-traumatic master disorder has taken over our educational systems because in order to uplift our youth and educate them, it must begin from the peak, from most nectar and pollen-filled moments of our existence across the planet. Beyond great cities, because what Honorable Brother Emmanuel shared is a choir of heartbreak and therefore it is people like us that are heartbroken and that are mourning, that have lost it all, that are the most being assessed. And it is our love. It is simply the love for our family. That's all it took to expose what has been incubating and has been protected and has been kept secret for far too long. And therefore, the agenda must not be set by the post-traumatic master disorder. Healing happens. You will be loved. But the work that you're confronting right now requires a death, requires you to experience dying every breath, to experience what it's like to have your younger, powerful little daughter ask you, "Daddy, can we watch Monsters, Inc.?" Knowing that it was the movie that you watched with your oldest son that is now eternally living, to sit there and watch the movie because you love your daughter, you are willing to die for another 2 hours. That love, it's what is going to take to overcome your racism. And racism is not a behavior. It is in the glass pipelines. It's in the curriculum at the schools. And it is in how our children are being placed last. And it is the children that are going to lead. And it is the relief that we call that we need to bring them relief right now. We need to pull them over and say thank you for uplifting our spirits. Thank you for not telling us everything that you're experiencing at school. Thank you for holding all that in for us. Because they know that.
Thank you, Brother Yahya.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you, Brother Yahya, for that inspirational
bless
message.
God, Brother Yahya.
Yes,
so
sir.
The Black Nation should stay black.
You too, brother. One love. All right, so we're getting towards the end of tonight's talk show, and the dialogue is about is the black race ready to lead itself into the future? And so we've had commentary coming from various people here on the talk show tonight discussing some very personal and deep topics as a part of this leadership discussion. We want to now give a little information about the what's happening in the Afro diaspora, and this is the closing segment of tonight's show. And we, Colonel Mamadou Diomboyo, who led the coup in Guinea, is now the president in chair, is the interim president, and he is promised to move the country in a different direction with revitalizing both the political and economic system there in Guinea, the promotion of stability and restoring law and order. And so we'll give the brother an opportunity to be able to demonstrate himself in this position in Guinea. And as we all know that anytime the change of a government official sometimes could be a very touchy issue, but we'll give the brother an opportunity to see if he can revive the nation of Guinea. We also have Ivory Coast, some extraordinary information coming out of Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, and they have lowered the cocoa price and now is challenging their cocoa in connection with an agreement that they have with Ghana to boost the premium price, and is now charging a price of $400 per ton premium grade cocoa. And this is to help boost the economy and also give that extra added value to the country's cocoa industry. In Mali, Mali has just received a whole fleet of Russian-made helicopters, and it is in a partnership with the Soviet Union, fostered by Colonel Kamel Kampara, and he solidified the agreement a few weeks ago and pretty much have a whole slew of the Babylonian nations having their panties in a bunch right now. But we'll keep an eye on to see how Mali moves forward with the alliance that it has arranged with its Russian counterpart. And it's a private company, Russian private security service that they've that they're doing business with now. Also, we'll get a big shout out to President Buhari of Nigeria. He just announced that he's going to be lifting the ban on Twitter and are going to be opening up the lines for people to get back on towards to Twitter accounts. And a lot of this, the account was taken down during the election time period because they felt that there were some unwarranted security invasion of the internet. May have been hampered or tampered with the actual election period. And this has to do with more and more people utilizing these devices and platforms as a means to distribute or sometimes hinder the outcome of an election. But now they are going to be opening up the lines to that. Also, we want to give a big shout out to Ghana. Ghana just recently announced that a part of the 76th UN General Council Assembly at the UN that took place, and many of the African nations came there to report on the well-to-do of their country, and miraculously, Ghana outperformed all the nations of the world with the highest growth rate at 7%. And so this was a documented study from 2014 up to 2020, the report itself, and which puts Ghana as one of the leading African nations with the production challenges that they've been being able to keep their GDP up and growing. And so tonight, as a part of this discussion, we end with a quote from our Honorable Marcus Garvey pertaining to leadership. If you have no confidence in yourself, you are twice defeated in the race of life. Liberty, the minds of men, and ultimately you will liberate the bodies of men. A race of life, to liberate our minds as men and women. And as we do this, ultimately, we will liberate our bodies. The black skin is not a badge of shame, but rather a glorious symbol of national greatness. With confidence, we can win. With confidence, we can win before we even start. This is Brother Eugene Thompson reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. We'll see you next week. Same black channel, same black time. One love.
One love. Alhamdulillah.
Black power.
Black power.
One love.